Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, titled Cleansing the Leper. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. That's BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And you can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, titled Cleansing the Leper. This is part one of two.
Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be in our Bible study. 12 through 14 of the verses we'll cover. After current events updates. Iranian Christians continue to suffer under the Islamic Republic of Iran. This lady is a Christian activist. They found out that she is alive. They were afraid they'd killed her. They found out she is alive, but she's in what's considered Iran's most dangerous women's prison. It says, we have confirmed reports that the missing 21-year-old Christian activist, she likes to be called Mary, is alive, being held in the country's largest and most dangerous women's prison. The problem is a lot of those are Muslim women who believe that she should be dead. So by putting her in that prison, her life is in danger. And she was able to call home a few times to reassure her family that she's okay. It was a month ago on January 12, Mary was arrested as protests took place. You remember the protests?
Yeah.
She was arrested during those protests after the government admitted shooting down the Ukrainian airplane. How many people died? I can't remember how many. Is it 179 or something like that?
Close to 200.
Yeah. Just sad. So that's the reality of life as a Christian in Iran. Last week or two, we've talked about what it's like in China. It's terrible. And anywhere Muslims hold the majority, if you're a non-Muslim, you're persecuted. You're persecuted by the government. You're persecuted by individuals. And the individuals aren't punished most of the time, even if they kill them. Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, you name it. So during the time it took for her family to raise the money for bail, Mary's case was transferred to a higher court, which will decide whether or not to grant her temporary release from prison. So pray. That's what we want to pray for Mary to be, at least temporarily released until her trial. We'd like to see the charges dropped. She's been charged, but they haven't actually publicly said what they're charging her with. You ought to be very thankful you're an American. In this country, there are laws about how you are arrested, laws about how you are charged, laws that protect you while you're in custody, all these things that you just have no guarantee of in other countries. So her arrest and detention come at a time when raids and imprisonment of Christians in Iran are increasing. Several high-profile cases of Christians are currently pending. And additionally, Mary's case comes as Iran's government holds celebrations to mark the 41st anniversary of the so-called Islamic Revolution. You remember that with Jimmy Carter's Days of Malaise, and they took the hostages and all that. So that's what's going on. And so we want to pray for Mary, and we will do so in a moment. But none of us have ever faced such a thing. As far as I know, no one in here had been carted off to prison, held without formal charges or anything like that for being a Christian. The least we can do is be informed and pray. And so that's why I encourage you to remain informed. We stopped endorsing in any way the Voice of the Martyrs ministry until they answer for building a $25 million facility. It's a shame when Christian organizations act like they're like the government. And yeah, they spend millions to have elaborate, you know, housing and everything. But you can still get the information from persecution.com. There's opendoorsusa.org. Barnabas Aid is another one where it's good for information. Just be very careful about giving money to any organization right now unless you know for sure they're not making merchandise of you and spending it on, you know, things that they don't need, and filthy lucre is what the Bible calls it. But if you ever do suffer like Mary in Iran, keep in mind promises like this, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And Christians are dying almost every day somewhere in the world. Faithful unto death, but that's not referring to them being saved. That's referring to a reward that they are going to get for being faithful unto death. The martyr's crown, we call it. And it's not one that every Christian can get. Not every Christian qualifies. There you go. So let's open with prayer before we get in our Bible study. We'll mention this sister in Christ. Father, we thank you for everyone here. And still, I think there's a few intended on being here that might still be making their way in. We pray for safe travel and that they'll get here in time to hear some of your word. We pray for the persecuted church around the world right now. Many have met today on the other side of the world already. It's evening, Sunday evening where they're at. And they've met today in secret. Some of them have to mouth the hymns and can't sing them out loud. They have to clap silently. They have to be very quiet and discreet. And then there might have been a house church somewhere that was busted up. There might have been some believers who were carted off to prison today. We're spoiled here in America. We don't have to worry about that. And only on a couple of occasions over the last few years, there's been individual devils walk into churches and shoot them up. But other than that, the persecution for meeting on Sunday is minimal here in America. And we thank you for that. We don't want to take it for granted. And we just thank you, Lord. And we pray for Mary over in Iran. We pray you'll have your hand of protection upon her. But we know she seems very willing to give her life to stand for Christ. And so we do thank you for people like that. We thank you for those who are willing to put their lives on the line. And so we pray for Mary. We pray for all the persecuted Christians there in Iran and around the world. We also want to pray about this coronavirus. China, North Korea is lying about how bad it is. It's supposed to be a lot worse than what we're even being told. There are a lot of unsaved people over there. Not ready to meet God, not ready to enter eternity. But there are Christians there as well. And they are trying to help. They're trying to minister. And some of them may die as a result. But we pray for their protection. We pray for your mercy. And then we ask you to help us in this study as we open your book to read your word. We ask for the help of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 5:12 to 14, title this Cleansing the Leper. Grandma's going to jump into action. But we're going to read 12 through 14 if you're there. Just read three verses. Give you a second to get there and I'll sip my coffee. Made with love by Jenny. We thank you, Jenny, week after week, making our coffee. All right, let's read verses 12 through 14. Read with me. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So we ask the question to start with in order to understand this is, what is leprosy? How many of you know what leprosy is? You have an idea? Leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease. It's a chronic infectious disease caused by Mycobacterium leprae. I have no idea. That's the trade language. In order for doctors and people in pharmacy and everything, for them to make money, they have to use Latin and special terms to make you feel stupid. And that way they feel smarter and you feel like you have to go to them. I had a list one time that told the terms that your doctor would tell you and what it really meant, and I have to get that back out sometime. It's pretty funny. Anyway, the disease mainly affects the skin, the peripheral nerves, mucosal surfaces of the upper respiratory tract, and the eyes. Leprosy is known to occur at all ages, ranging from early infancy to very old age. This is a picture of someone who was being treated for it, leprosy on the backside. This is another form of it on the, I think that's, I don't see a belly button, so that must be his back as well. Or the, because Adam's the only one that doesn't have a belly button as far as we know. Long-term exposure to face, hands, or feet is especially gruesome, so if you don't want to see that, turn away. But this is what it does if it's not treated. It basically eats away your fingers, and it can do the same thing to your toes. And sadly, in some countries, they don't get treated, and it emaciates the face. Thankfully, though, today it is medically treatable and curable, and that's why there are ministries who are, and folks, listen, if it wasn't for the Church of Jesus Christ, there would be people like that lady never treated. It's churches and missionaries who go into these countries and help provide treatment for these people. Governments do very little, especially in Africa where it ravages some areas. But in 30 to 32 AD, it was deadly. They didn't understand it. They didn't know exactly what to do about it. And if you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll be familiar with some of these cases of leprosy I want to refer to. But you remember Moses in Exodus 4? Did you know Moses had leprosy? For like 10 seconds, God said to put his hand, Jenny, you're familiar with it, put his hand in his bosom, pulled it out, and his hand was white, leprous, put it back in, pulled it out, it was gone. That's back in Exodus 4. Then my favorite is Numbers 12. Miriam was a bossy feminist. And she was challenging Moses for being head of the house and head of the tribe, and God taught her a lesson. She was a leper for a week. You can go back and read that. But Miriam and Aaron, and it was mostly Miriam, was the mouthpiece, I guess, in this case, challenging Moses' authority. And God struck her white with leprosy from head to toe. And Aaron said, "Oh, Moses, please don't let this, you know, stand and she'll die." And so Moses entreated the Lord. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said if she had spit in somebody's face, she'd have had to been unclean for 7 days, let alone what she did. So I'm going to tell her to go out of the camp for 7 days and then she can come back in. So for a week, Miriam had head-to-toe leprosy. You know, there's no recorded instance after that of her running her mouth. It'd be nice if God would give some people leprosy for a week and shut them up. Amen? Nobody in this room. I mean, I want to make that clear. I'm not talking about anyone here. But we've had some loudmouthed women try to run the pulpit in this church. I had a couple of times in previous churches. And had one where I was pastor and it was a a loudmouth woman who had schizophrenia, and she calls the denominational headquarters and her describes how she was seeing things, and without even coming to me and asking me for my side of the story, the denominational leader showed up on a Sunday morning and fired me. And they let me preach the message that I had and asked me not to cause trouble. I said, I ain't going to cause trouble, but I'm here to tell you, when I tell these people that's my last study, you're going to have a handful to deal with. I'll guarantee you that. They, well, we'll deal with that when time comes. And they did. And it was ugly. And that's what, and by the way, there are men that cause trouble in churches too, but most of the time these days, the trouble with men is they wear skirts. The trouble we have with most men today is they don't have a bone in their body that's, you know, made of, you know, any substance. They don't have a spine. So that's usually the problem. In times of apostasy, that's where you go back and look at Ahab and Jezebel. What do you got? Ahab just laid down for everything and didn't take a stand on anything. And his wife was the one with the grit, but she was on the wrong side. She served the devil, killed God's prophets. She ended up dead. The dogs licked her blood up and ate most of her. And she's in hell. That's Jezebel. Not a role model, ladies. But Jezebel is the role model of the feminist movement. NOWs, you know, the NOW, National Organization for Women. Planned Parenthood is run by the same people, basically. All of them. Baby killing, sodomite supporting, socialist. That's what the feminist movement is. And they want to turn your daughters into Jezebels. Well, then, how many remember Naaman? 2 Kings 5. Remember that? He's the Syrian, and one of the help, little lady, said, oh, if he was just in Israel, Elisha the prophet could heal him. And so the king of Syria sends Naaman down to be healed, and he sends him to the king. The king's like, what do you mean? I can't heal anybody. And it's like he didn't think about there being a God in Israel and a man of God in Israel. So finally, word gets to Elisha, and he says, go down to the Jordan and dip seven times. He's like, I could dip seven times back in, you know, Syria. And he had another one of the help who said, Naaman, if he'd asked you to do some great big deal, you'd done it, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, he's just asked you to dip seven times the river. You want to get rid of your leprosy, go do it. So what'd he do? Seven times. Now, you can't always do this with the Bible, but I like to make the Bible. I like to kind of get a feel for what it might have been like. So when the girls were younger, I took them out to the lake, and they was off playing in the sand and everything. I went out in the water. All right. Seven times, and I went down. That takes longer than you think. That was just three. I did, and as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, you know, what Naaman would have been thinking. I don't know, but I just think it was like, what's he thinking? I think he starts to realize, I think this is going to work. Four down. Five down. Heart starts palpitating and getting excited. The adrenaline starts running. Six. Seven. I'm healed. Amen. Didn't feel so goofy then. What? I just think that's a great story. When I was down in Southern Ohio, I was a youth pastor, and they had Vacation Bible School, and one of the men, we had a baptismal, you know, and we had skits for the kids. And one week, a fella did that in the baptistry, but he forgot to put the water in the baptismal two or three days ahead so he could warm it up. So it was ice cold, man. And the Jordan might have been ice cold too when Naaman went down there, but he dipped, he'd come up, you can see him like shaking like this. Yeah, Doug.
I thought of number seven, and I thought of the Lord, you know, because that's his
the number of perfection, completeness. Amen. Number seven. Then there's the four lepers. Remember this story? The four lepers in 2 Kings 7? Anybody remember that? It's a hilarious story, really. The Syrian army, I can't remember the number, tens of thousands of them ready to just sack and destroy Israel. And Joram was a king, and he was such a bad king that even in the Bible, they rarely said his name. Just constantly would say, the king of Israel. And his name was Jehoram. And God knocked the J-E off because that's a Jah. It's Yah. It's for God. God didn't want his name even identified with him. And so these four lepers are like, you know, why do we just sit here? If we just sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, they'll kick us out. So let's go to the Syrian army and, you know, if they kill us, so what? We die. We're going to die anyway. And they go out there and then they find the whole place is just empty. Nothing but tents and booty. So these four lepers are eating all the food and they're stuffing their pockets with the gold and the silver and putting stuff, all the jewelry on, everything. And then they look around, you're talking tens of thousands. They're like, oh, this isn't right. I mean, we couldn't really enjoy all this in ourselves anyway. So they go back and tell King Joram and the Israelites what happened. They didn't believe it. They say, it's a trap. It's a trap. And so they had to hear from the prophet. And they went ahead and sent some guys out. And they came back and says, no, they're gone, man. And so it was a victory that God wrought. You know how he did it? Anybody remember? Huh? He just gave them panic attacks. They thought they heard horses and chariots over in the hills, and they all took off running. Not a shot fired. Yeah. So then there's the last one I'll talk about is Uzziah. Now, you remember that one? King Uzziah. You remember this one? This is a case where a man wants to usurp his place reserved for in this dispensation, reserved for the priests. He gets his incense going, goes into the temple, and 80 priests, along with the high priest, I think it's Abiathar, they go running in, they're like, no, you're not allowed to do this. And he says, watch me. And he starts to do what the priests do and everything, and all of a sudden, they look, and right there in his forehead, leprosy breaks out right in front of their eyes. And they freak out. And rust him out. He's like, what? What? He can't see it. And they're like, you're leprous, you're leprous. He goes running out of there. And then they took over his body. Now, he died that way. Died a leper. Wasn't even buried with the kings when he died. So in all these cases, you see what? In all but the... Now, the four lepers, it doesn't go into detail about how that happened. But there's always sin involved in... Leprosy is always a picture of sin. Two whole chapters deal with how to handle leprosy. And if you don't think of the human effect and you don't think about what it means, Leviticus 13 and 14, I know people skip it. And there's some lessons to be learned there. Not just about leprosy physically, but spiritually in Leviticus 13 and 14. So back to our text now with the idea that hopefully you paid attention and you have an idea of what leprosy is and what it looks like in Scripture. It says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. So this guy's got it like Miriam had it, with no healing in sight at this point. And that's why we also want to keep in mind as we're reading this that leprosy is a type or a symbol for sin. How many of you heard of types, typology? There are many things in the Bible that have a real basis in history. It happened, but then it is a type of something. One obvious example is, you know, when they would take the little lamb, cute little fuzzy white lamb, rip, cut its throat, catch the blood. That was a symbol, a type of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood to pay for sin. Now, I just want to clarify. People didn't know this, but they didn't just kill the lamb and then throw it away. It was basically, it became a big barbecue. And that's why when you read in your Old Testament, it says it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Your God loves the smell of meat on a barbecue. Yeah, I like to get to know God. You know, get to know Him, He's pretty cool. He is. Huh?
Very
affable. Affable. Yeah. There are a lot of words to describe the Lord that we could use, and it's going to take us all of eternity, and we're never going to run out. So, in the Scripture, as you read these stories I mentioned, you'll see leprosy as a type or symbol of sin, or for sin. Because one thing, Brother John went into some detail in our Sunday school about how sin starts out small, and then it just takes over and eventually consumes. You may think you got sin in your life right now and you think it's little. It will eventually consume you if you don't confess it with a repentant heart. If you do that, God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But if you don't, then it makes you unclean. And every lost person in this world, anybody who doesn't know Jesus, everybody says, oh, I believe there's other ways to God than through Jesus. You're crazy. Jesus is the only way where you can be cleansed. If you're a Muslim, you think your works before God will somehow cleanse you. That's a lie of the devil. It doesn't matter what religious label you put on it. It can be Buddhism, where they meditate and chant and do good deeds and things. Doesn't cleanse you at all. Then we got Christians who think being water baptized does it. Nope. Baptism doesn't save you from hell. It only saves you from having a bad reputation, basically. If you're a Christian and you don't get baptized, why would anybody believe your profession? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. You get baptized in water, you are showing the world that you have been saved already, and now you are being baptized, picturing your death, dead in Christ, risen out of the water to new life. Amen. Thomas back here has asked to be baptized, and so we're going to, as soon as it gets warm enough, because we do outdoor baptisms right out here. Amen. And I hear there's another fellow I'm going to have to talk to, and Malachi has professed faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. And then we have a fellow named Ken who lives in Connecticut. And we're going to try to get everybody on the same page and have all three of them and anyone else baptized at one time. So hopefully in March we can get a break in the weather. And if Ken can make it down, we'll have at least three. I just recruited Malachi. He didn't actually tell me he's ready to do that, but we'll talk to him about it. But you know what? He's a big boy. And anybody who's serious about their faith in Jesus Christ will want to be baptized. Now, some of you, I know because I baptized you, if you have not been baptized by immersion, the Bible way is underwater and out of the water. Doesn't mean you're going to hell if you got sprinkled or poured, but it means you ought to do it the right way. Doesn't matter if you sprinkled or poured, you should still be baptized the way Jesus was baptized. He went down in the water and came up out of the water. No one sprinkled Jesus. You watch a Hollywood movie where they pour on their head or whatever, or I guess, you know, whatever. None of that is in the Bible. We believe in baptizing the Bible way. Amen? You take a leper and splash him with water, he'll still have leprosy. And if you are a sin, sick, unsaved sinner, all you do is get a bath if you get baptized. You have to believe.